Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody. It's Tapes and Scouts time once again.
Tapes and Scouts.
We are still available in other countries.
Yes, where they like us.
Yes, for some reason.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, they're like, those filthy American dogs, they all right.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They okays.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're probably right.
No.
They wouldn't lie.
They just feel bad for us, maybe.
Oh, we are pathetic.
Yeah, they're like, these guys are pretty awful. Yeah. I better listen to this so they at least feel a little better about themselves.
That's true.
So we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. All our foreign listeners. And Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
I haven't shouted you out in a while. Dan.
Yeah, it's worth shouting Dan out every once in a while.
Shout it out. Dan. Whoa, Dan, whoa.
Dan, 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 Dan.
Dan, Dan, Dan. All right, enough of that nonsense. I'm going first because my...
He's talking about you, Dan.
You're going to get a text message.
I will.
I love you, Dan. I don't know what that was. That was very Andy Kaufman, I think.
It was. You were lacking.
I love you. Love you, Dan, very much. My first movie rules.
Okay.
Tombstone.
Yes, this movie does fucking rule.
Time for Tombstone.
Oh,
one
shit.
One of the best westerns pretty much ever.
What year is this one?
This is 93.
I was going to say one of the best westerns. Like, this and Unforgiven came out of nowhere in the early 90s. We're just like, right. You know what? They're the shit. Fucking western movies, people.
And I've always felt that way, but there's enough meh ones to clog it up.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Young Guns and stuff like that.
I like Young Guns, though.
Do you?
I do. I'd have to rewatch them to really give you an opinion. But...
I mean, my like sketchy 90s western of choice is The Quick and the Dead, Sam Raimi remake. Like that one a lot.
No, these are all fine.
Yeah.
But to find out how good, we're going to have to go back.
Damn right.
And we will, I'm sure, at some point.
Westerns.
Oh, we talked about Tombstone a bunch on this podcast already, so yeah. I was like, we should just actually do it.
You just wanted to watch Tombstone.
I really did.
Don't think it's podcast related. He just wanted to watch Tombstone. It was time for Tombstone.
Yeah, Tombstone is definitely one of those movies where I'm like, you know, it's been about a year. I should watch Tombstone again.
That's right. It's that time.
That's right. It's Tombstone time, baby.
Like the end of every Undertaker wrestling match.
That's right. Tombstone, cross the arms, 1, 2, 3.
Game over.
Game over, unless Kane comes out. August 28th, 2021, 2 hours, 10 minutes, your genre, action, biography, drama. Directed by George P.
Cosmatos. Yes.
As well as Kevin Jarry, who did not get credited.
Interesting.
He filmed the scenes that had Charlton Heston in them.
Oh, no kidding.
He just did those scenes.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's interesting that they didn't credit him at the time.
Yeah, interesting. It's probably a payment thing. That's usually why people go uncredited, because of like union specific things. Sure, typically, yeah. I don't want to speak to this. Obvious.
It's potentially true.
Yeah.
Starring Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Sam Elliott, and Bill Paxton.
What a fucking cast this movie has.
This cast, and I'm going to go into it in a second, there are so many people in this movie, it's bonkers.
It's so good.
But first, your IMDb movie summary. A successful lawman's plans to retire anonymously in Tombstone, Arizona are disrupted by the kind of outlaws he was famous for eliminating.
Oh my God.
Because he Wyatt Earp, sucka.
Oh my God, this movie's so good.
Kurt Russell's very good in this, but this is Val Kilmer is so insanely good in this movie. I don't know if there's a better Val Kilmer.
I don't know if there's a better Huckleberry, including the Hound.
Oh, man. No, that Hound ain't got shit.
No. This movie is so unbelievably good.
It's really good. So your other people in this movie, Michael Biehn, who you know I love.
Oh, me too.
Powers Booth.
Yeah.
Jason Priestley.
Wow.
Charlton Heston. Thomas Hayden Church. Michael Rooker. Billy Bob Thornton. Billy Zane. And Frank Stallone for fun.
Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald.
Oh, my God. So sad about Norm.
I agree.
I love Norm so much.
Me too. He is the Weekend Update to me.
He always will
for that. Yeah.
Always. Ugh, that's another tangent. We'll have to do a separate podcast for that. My God. Norm so good.
The Norm MacDonald tribute episode I call Dirty Work. I love Dirty Work.
All right.
Maybe just a special feature. If you tweet @mad_dog_tim and tell him you want a special feature where we do a fan commentary for Dirty Work, we'll do it.
Oh, absolutely.
I love that movie.
Absolutely. That movie's, I mean, it got him to host SNL, right? After being fired.
I love that movie. For all the OJ references.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so good.
I don't know how he got away with that shit.
He kind of didn't, in a way.
In a way, he didn't, but they were always bringing up the stuff. He had everything queued up to be on the screen, so somebody somebody was in somebody his pocket. Somebody was in on like, it. Yeah. Yeah, like they were all right. I mean, I'm sure lots of people got fired in addition to Norm.
Probably.
But, oh my goodness, but, worth it.
Yeah. Oh man, so good. Wow, what a great tangent to go off on. Tombstone, though. My goodness, the people in this. The movie wants us to kind of root for Wyatt Earp to cheat on his wife, which is a weird thing on the rewatch. Weird. It's just like, oh, here's that lady who sings and acts in this traveling band of actors, and it's like, he thinks she's pretty. That would be enough. But like, they kind of make his wife start going in this weird spiral where she's got like an addiction.
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way.
It's weird.
That way. Yeah, that
it's
is so weird.
Because his wife at first doesn't have a problem, but it's almost like because she sees him distracted, she spirals out of control to where it's a major problem.
Wow. Yeah, I got to rewatch it. So the last time I watched Tombstone, I was young enough to just watch it and just... You watched it because of how badass it was.
Sure.
So I got to go back and watch it as a more discerning film fan now.
It's really weird. Like, that was the one thing. Everything else was... I thought everything was better than I remembered.
Right.
But that was the one thing I'm like... thinking this lady is beautiful and, like, interacting with her because you're kind of a person in the town is one thing. But, like, your wife, like, sees you leering at her and, like, it's weird.
That is weird.
It is weird. It is the one weird thing in this movie. But Michael Biehn is amazing, especially opposite Val Kilmer. They are so good together.
Yeah.
Like, he has good moments without him, but when they are together, it is perfect.
I agree.
Their chemistry is so incredibly good.
We had the previous chemistry with him and Bill Paxton from Aliens.
Correct. And Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
Ooh.
That might have been... No, that was the 92, I think.
I think that's correct.
There was no chemistry in that movie. Didn't even realize Bill Paxton
there was chemistry there. Behind the scenes of the movie, what they were doing in their trailers, I'm sure involved some chemistry.
Maybe.
And they had money for it. They were getting paychecks from Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs. but this movie is so incredibly good. All the cowboys are gross and disgusting.
Yes, they are.
It really stresses alliances, allegiances, and what is important and values. Michael Rooker's character is like kind of a nothing character, and they kind of expand on him later in the movie, which is actually really cool.
It is.
Where it's like, I'm done with this shit. These guys are out of control. It's very good. Very, very good. I could talk about Tombstone all night, so I won't. IMDb, 7.8.
Yep.
Rotten Tomato critics, 74%. The audience, 94%.
Yep.
100,000 plus.
As it should be.
You want to guess mine?
You're tough, because when it starts to get to the upper echelons, it's scary to go up there, but I'm going to be bold, Tim.
Yes, bold it up.
9 out of 10.
You're right.
Yes.
It is a 9 out of 10. Correct.
Yep.
I love me some Tombstone.
That's so good.
I'll be your Huckleberry, Max.
I appreciate it.
What you got, fool?
2021 Huckleberry Hound, the movie.
Oh.
It's not. It's Palmer.
Palmer?
Palmer. Not Arnold.
Not Arnold Palmer.
No. I watched
this. Other Palmers?
Yes, there is. I watched this in March 15th, 2021 to be exact. Hmm. It is 1 hour and 50 minutes. It is a drama. This film is directed by Fisher Stevens.
Okay.
And I shit you not.
Huh.
Mr. The Plague himself from Hackers directed this film.
You do love Hackers.
Yeah, I do. Short Circuit. That Fisher Stevens directed this movie. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. What year was it?
2021.
Wow.
Yeah. Starring Justin Timberlake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Ryder Allen and Juno Temple. And the movie is about this particular thing. So there's no good way to segue. The movie is about after 12 years. It's a movie about after 12 years.
It takes about 12 years.
Here's the summary. After 12 years in prison, former high school football star Eddie Palmer returns home to put his life back together and forms an unlikely bond with Sam, an outcast boy from a troubled home. But Eddie's past threatens to ruin his new life and newfound family.
Okay.
So it's basically breaking it down. This dude gets out of jail. He manages to cobble together a job at his old high school doing janitorial work, custodial work.
Hard to get a job after you've been in jail.
That's right. And so he starts doing that, and he meets this little boy who lives in a trailer park where his grandmother lives. And the little boy has like a learning disability, and he is really into, like, he's kind of off. Like, he's into like this princess show. And so he's weird and picked on in school. And his mom is like the local whore. So like, you know, the sideshow Mel isn't your mother, a well-known whore, and she's sleeping around town. She just disappears for days and weeks on end and just leaves the kid alone in this trailer. That's and nice. So, Palmer kind of picks up and like they form a bond and he starts to stay over because the grandmother kind of was taking care of him here and there. Like she felt bad that he was alone. And so they start to kind of build up a relationship. The grandmother passes away. He moves in with the kid and then like he kind of becomes like his adopted father almost, like a surrogate parent. And then it gets into the mom wants the kid back and she wants to get her life back on track. And he wants to try to like oppose that because now he feels like, you know, the kid wants to be with him. And it's like alarmingly well thought out and heartfelt.
Yeah, that sounds like such a difficult scenario for everyone.
Absolutely. Very uncomfortable, very gritty. The performances are great. And what's great about having somebody like Stevens at the helm of this movie, as an actor, he lets them do their thing. He doesn't get in the way with fancy camera moves or trying to push in or make it more dramatic. He just lets them act.
What a novel idea.
I know. It's unbelievable, right? Like, it's like if the people on camera are bringing it, you don't have to do anything super fancy with the camera. And you know I love fancy camera bullshit.
Sure, sometimes.
But you don't need it here. It's just really raw performances. Alan brings it. Timberlake brings it. It's really impressively done. And I think that their performances are enhanced by the subtlety of Steven's camera in this one. It's really nice.
Yeah, if it's just two people in a room arguing, I don't need, like, all these weird point of views.
No.
You know,
no, you don't need like a cut, like cut to this super close up of them saying a dramatic line, cut to a far away reaction because now they're made small and the person with the close up looked big. It's like, we get it. But you can just let them play and let them have a scene together and right. It can be lovely and terrible. And this is very kind of like of the earth. The trailer park feels authentic. Timberlake feels gritty, like he's got baggage and like he could, you know, he has a propensity to possible violence. And he was in jail because he made a mistake as a kid, like just turning into an adult.
Sure.
And he was like the famous high school quarterback who was going to go, you know, like full scholarship somewhere and blew it over some stupid bullshit. And so he just kind of has to keep eating shit from all the local townsfolk and everything. So he does a nice job. It feels a little cliched, all those things we've seen in movies before, but Stevens does a nice job of kind of not worrying about that and just letting the movie feel like and allow it to tell the story it wants to tell. So I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, that's cool.
IMDb gives it a 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics 108 give it a 72%. So okay. Right there. Audience 500 plus give it 87%. So just a touch higher.
Yeah, these are all good numbers.
And I'm coming right in just a hair below everybody else at a 7 out of 10.
I mean, that's super good.
Really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
I kind of always enjoyed Justin Timberlake trying to act and like, I feel like there's no reason he wouldn't be good.
No, everything I've seen him in, even Southland Tales, which is like,
right.
Richard Kelly kind of doing weird shit movie. He does a fine job in that film. So cool.
Yeah, I like
good,
that.
Good work, Timberlake.
Yes.
Frost them tips, baby.
Everywhere. Well, bye to him. I'm going to go to 1996.
Oh, okay.
Trees Lounge.
Like you're going away from Timberlake. Into the year of Timberlake, basically.
It's pretty weird how that happened.
Uh-huh.
but Trees Lounge, I watched it on September 3rd, 2021. You ever see this guy?
No.
This one is directed, written, and starring Steve Buscemi.
Ooh.
And I love me some Buscemi.
We love the Buscemi around these parts.
And I had known this was like a big earlier movie from him. I didn't realize that he had directed it initially.
No, me either.
And I was like, I never watched this. And I know it has some love. So let me just check it out.
Sure.
Interesting movie. It's an hour 35 comedy drama starring Steve Buscemi, Carol Kane, and Mark Boone Jr.
Oh, wow.
He very good in this.
Yeah, wow.
Apparently he's in everything Steve Buscemi has ever done. Because they're like best friends.
That's cool.
They put each other in each other's stuff.
Why not, right?
If you're not familiar with Mark Boone Jr., probably best known recently for what, like Sons of Anarchy?
I think
so.
He had
a recurring role in there. He was the guy with the cool perm.
It is a cool perm.
It's a very cool perm. His character's great in this. Your IMDb movie summary. Tommy is an unemployed mechanic who spends most of his time in a bar, which is called Trees Lounge, in a small blue-collar town. He seems to always be thinking, if only X, then I could stop drinking.
Right.
So he's an alcoholic. He has some major alcoholic issues, and he is recently got fired because he deserved to.
Right.
As a mechanic, and it's a small town, so it's hard for him to get a job.
Sure.
And he just lives at this bar. And it's the shenanigans that happen. It's like, oh, where is he? I don't know. Go down the trees. You'll find him.
Right.
It's an interesting story. It has some questionable parts for sure, though. Buscemi is just a weird character for you to root for.
Right.
It's your typical weird Buscemi character.
Absolutely.
It's not a big stretch, really. But it's just like, I want him to do well because he's not a bad person. But then he'll do like a couple of things. And I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
There is a Baldwin in here. I don't remember which one.
They're interchangeable, really.
I was like, Alec let himself go. I'm like, oh, it's one of the other ones.
It must be Steven.
I don't think it was.
I think you of the Baldwins, you would catch a Steve. It would like you would notice Steven before all others.
We're going to have to Google that later.
Yeah.
100%. There's definitely a creepy side to the story of Buscemi's character where he tries to have sex with a minor, essentially.
Oh, boy.
Like a 17-year-old. And it's like it's like a family friend. It's very weird. It took me right out of the movie because I'm like, that's not really in his character. Like fucking up and doing things. Like he's trying to help the girl and it's just like a little creepy. There's an old man character at the bar who is surprisingly a deep character. You think he's like a throwaway character. Mm-hmm. And really, he kind of mirrors Buscemi and the projected path of him.
Okay.
And the character's great. I did put there's a Baldwin in here.
Daniel
Baldwin. There it is. Daniel Baldwin and Steve Buscemi have a wild fight scene in the movie.
Yeah.
It is really weird. It was probably really hard for them to film because Buscemi's essentially running away like a chicken shit coward, and he has to like climb like the fence behind like a baseball diamond,
mm-hmm.
and like it as he's like wildly swinging a bat at him, like all kinds of wild shit happens in this.
That's cool.
It's a weird movie. It aside from that questionable scene, it's pretty good. You want to root for Buscemi, but it hard.
Yeah.
And it's just like one of those weird indie movies from the 90s. Like, if you like Steve Buscemi, you'll probably like
it. The heyday of the indie movie, really.
It really is. And I think Mark Boone Jr. is the star of this.
How is Carol Kane?
Okay.
Okay.
She doesn't do a lot.
That's a shame.
Sad, but
yeah,
she's there. When she's there, she's fine.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad it's Mark Boone Jr. getting to do some stuff because he gets so to do good. When he does business, he got business.
Yeah, he's in the bar a lot, and you find out that he's having marital issues with his wife, and they have a small kid together, and you don't think much of him. You kind of find out that he's actually loaded, and he's just like on vacation, and he's just drinking at this bar because he's sad. And
right.
Like, it's weird. It's just weird, and he befriends Buscemi's character. So IMDb, 7.1. Rotten Tomato critics, 26 of them, which is surprising because this was a beloved indie movie.
Yeah.
81%. 5,000 plus of the audience, 79%. And me, I give it a 6.5.
It's fair.
It's a pretty decent indie movie if you want to check it out.
I like it.
I like you.
All right, Tim, are you ready to quadruple the length of this podcast?
Absolutely not.
Well, too fucking bad. 2021, Zack Snyder's The Justice League.
Oh no, we're getting a Snyder cut of the podcast.
We are. So get ready, everybody, because I got a lot of shit to say real fucking slow. We watched this on 3/8 of 2021. IMDb minutes on this, and I am not fucking around here. 4 hours and 2 minutes long. No, I'm not dyslexic. That is correct. Genre, comic book. Directed by the one and only Zack Snyder. Starring Henry Cavill, Gal Gadot, Henry Lennox. We know Batflex in there. We know Ezra Miller's in there. We got lots of folk in this film.
Folk, eh?
The summary of this movie, I wrote this one. It's the other Justice League, but longer. A lot longer. My thoughts on this movie. So I've talked a bunch of shit.
Yep.
This movie is actually way better than the other cut of the Justice League.
That's interesting.
And I'm not fucking around. So the other cut of the Justice League feels long. It feels shabby. This feels somehow less long and shabby.
That's weird.
Unbelievable. Ah. At like nearly double the runtime, it somehow feels leaner. And it's because the story is more cohesive. You actually have time for the characters. You're introducing a surprising amount of characters in this film.
Sure. Big ones, Flash, Cyborg.
Right, exactly. And it's like you have a lot of things to do. So I understand why he was doing what he was doing. But I also understand, given the nature of what he was going through in his personal life and why he had to step away from the project, why Whedon came on and was just kind of like, fuck. Because I don't think anybody but Snyder could have gotten away with this from Warner Brothers.
Probably true.
And I think that had this come out and there not been a Whedon cut, I'm not sure how things would have gone for this movie. I don't know if it would be, because it's looked upon very strongly by its fan base. Right. I've been glared at least 14 times already by Sam when I was talking shit on it earlier. So its fan base is extraordinarily loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Justice League. I am definitely, when it comes to comics, a DC preferer over Marvel. Maybe in my younger days, I'd say more Marvel because I really liked Spider-Man as a kid.
It really depends on the era, yeah, on the decade. What are you reading, for sure?
Right. And I think that nowadays, I would say I'd lean more towards DC on the whole. Like, there's more IPs in DC that I'm interested in and have grown to love more than the Marvel stuff. Then there's Moon Knight. That's what's basically in Marvel anymore for me. And everything else has kind of fallen off pretty big, where DC still holds a lot of properties where I'm like, I still really like this. This title's still actually pretty good. So there's a lot going on there that I like, where this, so I can understand where they're coming from. And these are kind of beloved, time-honored characters. And I know a lot of these DC movies, and you know how outspoken I am about how bad Batman versus Superman is.
Yeah.
A lot of these movies have sucked absolute fucking dirty donkey asshole. And I understand that people really wanted them to not. Like, just suck a better asshole would have been enough for a lot of these fans. But they haven't. These movies have been... A lot of them have been wretched piles of garbage.
I agree.
And it's really a shame. So I understand that they finally got a chance to do this. And man, Snyder sets up a ton of shit in this movie. I don't know if you know any of the spoilery pieces of it.
I know some. Yeah.
But like, there's like allusions to Martian Manhunter and other characters who would have had time. There's Deathstroke in this movie. And we would have seen these characters come to light if this were the real cut, perhaps. So it's really kind of a shame to see that so much was on the... like possibly sitting there to be gobbled up to maybe make a movie, because you make enough movies, one of them kind of maybe has to be good, right? Like, you got to the Suicide Squad a couple episodes ago, and that managed to be a good DC movie. So it's possible, but this movie actually does manage to tell a cohesive story and set up characters you care about and actually have them make sense and logical choices, unlike the Whedon cut, where like, what the fuck was the Flash doing at the end of that film?
Who knows?
He doesn't even know. But in this one, it actually makes sense. Like, you're like, oh, okay, well, totally logical. And he does something actually different and useful. How about that?
Weird.
Yeah, very strange. But there are a lot of weird things going on in this film where, like, there's a woman who's staring at the sea after Aquaman walks away from her for, like, 25 seconds straight. She's just staring longingly at the ocean. Why is she still staring at the ocean? She's still staring. It hasn't cut yet.
I mean, Momoa, right?
I mean, I understand. I would probably stare at him for a solid 25 seconds if he ever walked by me in real life. But this is also a movie. Come on, let's move on. Like, I understand. Sure. Maybe Snyder had like a little man crush on him for a minute there. I mean, again, understandable. He's called Drogo, so I get it.
Indeed.
But you got to move on. Come on, we got a movie here.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder, we got a movie to make. And it's got a lot of Zack Snyderisms. It's far from a perfect film. And it does a lot of things. I mean, like, do we really need Cyborg, like, cursing? Do we need that?
Do we need any of them cursing?
I don't really think, especially not Justice League. Like, this is, like, pure Americana. Like,
right.
This is the good guys here. Like, the for real, the good guys are here. Do we need that? I mean, like, the Superman stuff still bugs me. His upper lip still bothers the hell out of me.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's like, there's some stuff in here that's just kind of like, it collapses under its own weight, but it makes more sense. You got Batman kind of tying the room together. You got to see a little bit more Jeremy Irons, which I'm always happy to have in any
Absolutely.
Movie. So overall, I'd say this is an improvement. The Whedon, I think, I don't know if I did it on this podcast. I think I did a while back, and I think I gave it around a like high two, low three. This one is higher.
Good.
So we'll get into the scores. IMDb, and you're going to see the audience devotion for this film here as I go through the scores. IMDb, 8.1 out of 10.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 301 critics give it a 71%.
Okay.
However, the audience, who fucking love them shits.
98, 99?
94% Ooh. Of 25,000 plus.
That's pretty impressive.
Wild shit here.
Yeah.
I give it a 5.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Which is a huge bump. Like,
for being
nearly
so
double.
Much longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doubled the length, nearly doubled my score.
That's wild. I remember hearing, I think it was Richard Donner, right before he passed, told Snyder not to watch the Justice League when it came out. He's like, they butchered your movie. Don't watch it.
Wow.
Apparently they were close friends.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah.
He's like, just don't do it. You'll be so sad.
Wow.
Imagine.
No. Especially after losing a child.
Yeah. That's awful.
No. Would not want it. I wouldn't want Dick Donner to give me any bad news because he seems like the man.
Right.
So.
Wild.
Kudos, Zack Snyder. You did it.
Yeah. Good job, guy.